We're going to get to our guest, Joel Epstein, in just a second. He is a communication strategist and a writer focused on transportation and urban issues. So here in Southern California, specifically in Los Angeles County, a few years ago, we voted for a sales tax increase, Measure M. 71% of us voted yes on this. 2.25 million said, yes, I will pay more in sales tax if you build more rail. Yet every year since Measure M has passed, we've actually seen ridership, whether it's on the red line or the blue line or the bus system throughout Southern California in Los Angeles, go down year after year. Even the Expo line, which was seeing increases once it finished going from downtown to Santa Monica, ridership last year was down for that. What's going on here? Well, let's talk to an expert on transit, Joel Epstein. You are on The Morning Drive. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to chat with you.
So a lot of riders on the Metro Red Line here in Los Angeles that goes between the Valley and downtown have started dubbing it the Red Line Motel because of the growing number of homeless people sleeping on the trains. Could this be one of the reasons that ridership is starting to go down with all the metro projects here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, sadly, unfortunately, absolutely. I think what Metro is facing and what LA in general is facing is a real issue of folks concerned about their safety because of a small number of homeless who hog the seats and generally present a menace to the ridership. The first issue for transit is that people feel safe.
I think you're 100% right. And not only do some of the riders not feel safe, but the bus drivers themselves report not feeling safe. You can't even ask a homeless person that gets on the bus to pay the fare because you're afraid of them. And they're even asking in certain cities for cages to protect them. But, we want more transit in Los Angeles. Getting around here in a car is a pain in the butt, but what's going on right now is not necessarily a better alternative.
Well, what I'd say is the best solution to the problem on the trains and buses is for people to ride, people to get out of their cars, to give Metro a try. It's very inexpensive. It's relatively inexpensive for most of us, even for the largely poor or working class, it's still a better option than trying to buy gas and insure your car and deal with parking and all of the above. And I think if people get on transit, give the red line a chance, give the Expo line, give green and blue a chance, and the orange line, then they'll see how fast it is, they'll see how efficient it is, and they'll also feel more comfortable because they'll be riding with fellow citizens, fellow folks who live in L.A.
We're talking to Joel Epstein, a communication strategist and a writer focused on transportation and urban issues. What would you say to the people that, say, live in the West San Fernando Valley that are not within a first mile, last mile closeness of the orange line or the red line and feel that it's not really convenient to get there in the first place to use the public transportation?
Yeah, very, very, very legitimate concern. A couple of things, the orange line, which is a rapid busway, a true bus rapid transit line that doesn't really have a lot of interference from cars or from other traffic, is a good option. That goes all the way to Canoga Park now. I'd urge them to explore that. It's true. If you're going from your single family house in the West Valley and trying to get to downtown L.A., you may prefer sitting in your car, listening to tunes, listening to the news, the morning drive, et cetera. But I think it's worth giving transit a try for those residents. And I also take exception to the idea that, the rise in the price of housing in Los Angeles is responsible for declining ridership.
So you're referring
really
to this.
Not realistic.
Yeah, you're referring to this Metro article. We actually shared it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/KABC Radio, where they're trying to compare part of the reason that we have declining ridership in Los Angeles is that low-income passengers are just leaving Los Angeles. You don't believe that's the case?
I really don't believe that's the case. Sure, there are some folks leaving Los Angeles for Palmdale and elsewhere. Less expensive cities because LA is becoming a very expensive city, and people have lost their homes as well, contributing to the homeless crisis throughout the region. But no, I think the issue is that people are pairing up, they're carpooling, they're taking rideshare and ride hailing services like Uber and Lyft. And they're figuring out other ways to get to work because they're just, some of them are just not comfortable on the train because there's a homeless man who may not have showered in a period of time, or he may just be, be a little menacing for somebody who's not used to riding the transit system.
I have ridden the Red Line. I used to live in North Hollywood, so I've ridden it many times. And there have been many times where I felt great, but in recent years, there have been a lot of instances where I felt either annoyed, bothered, or unsafe. I've seen fights break out in train stations. I was in the Universal City train station once where a kid thought it would be really funny to fill a Coke bottle up with vinegar and throw it in a trash can, making it sound like a gun went off. And when you're on the train themselves, sometimes it is a homeless person sleeping on the seat. Sometimes a homeless person relieving themselves on the seat. Or it could be just the simple annoyance of somebody selling incense to you, or probably the most offensive thing that ever happened to me, which was a guy trying out his stand-up comedy act on a Friday night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I think, look, these are issues that all major transit systems from Los Angeles to Chicago, New York, Seattle are facing. They have a challenge of disruptive homeless people on the train, buskers, the like. But again, I think the best solution is what Metro is trying to do, which is send out teams of police officers trained to deal with the homeless. I sometimes, as a transit rider, find that the police tend to bunch up. They tend to stand on the platform. Some of them don't seem to like to ride the trains themselves. They're just punching the clock. So I think that needs some attention. But again, I think the best solution to this widespread problem that people feel all over the country, all over the world even, is for people to give the trains a try, is to band together and not tolerate, people who are being disruptive, going to the police when there's an issue and the like. But the transit system is here to stay. It's a great option and a great solution for people who can get, like you say, that first last mile to the station, either by a bus or by a bike or by walking or even scooting now in some parts of L.A.
I have heard our city officials saying that they believe the electric scooters could be a reasonable first mile, last mile solution. A couple of questions for you here. We are talking to Joel Epstein, communication strategist and writer focused on transportation and urban issues. First of all, let's say that you're not a first mile, last mile situation. You live in Sherman Oaks around Riverside Drive. You're not necessarily super close to the Orange Line or the Red Line, but they've got parking lots there, so you could technically drive your car to the Red Line station on Lancashire and Chandler or the Universal City station on Lancashire right there by Ventura. And yet they have added paid parking permits to those parking lots, making it now costing you more money to use the Metro.
You know what? It's costing you more money, but as anybody who drives in Los Angeles knows, parking in downtown L.A. and other parts of the city, Century City and the like, very prohibitive. And I think the relatively modest cost of parking, if you have no other option, if you can't walk or take the bus or take a scooter or a bike to one of the transit stations, again, give that parking a try because it's relatively reasonably priced. And again, it still gets you out of your car. It still helps you avoid having to, sit in traffic along with everybody else.
We're talking to Joel Epstein here. Now, what would you say to the people, and this was documented in a few articles throughout the year, that there are a lot of people that for many years were commuting from Long Beach to downtown using the Blue Line, and they don't anymore, and they prefer Lyft and Uber because they say that the Blue Line and a lot of the rail lines, they're not necessarily reliable. The trains don't come on time, and there are unexpected delays more often than you would want.
Yeah. Blue Line, the Blue Line, as you may know, as some of your listeners may know, was the first line built by the city or by the transit agency. And it's an old system, a relatively old system for Los Angeles. And Metro is involved in making major upgrades to the system. I think service is going to improve over time significantly. Again, you raise an important and challenging issue for the region and also for the transportation agency, and that people are preferring sharing a car, taking an Uber, taking a Lyft. But I think as those improvements continue to be made, as the upgrades are made, and as they improve service on that line, it'll be back. It is the most heavily ridden line in the system, or at least it was the last time I had checked.
I think if we're going to put the money into this and we're trying to expand these rail lines, we're trying to finally put some kind of rail going from the valley to the west side, we're trying to expand the Purple Line. These are all great things. We might actually have, before 2028, a train that goes to LAX, which would take a lot of cars off the roads. But we've got to be able to show the public that voted to pay for this that the trains are going to be reliable and they're going to be safe, or people just aren't going to use them. Because, yes, it might be cheaper, but you're also going to be, if they're not reliable, spending a lot more time commuting. And for a lot of people, that might be even more important than the gas that you're saving, is that now you're spending an extra hour or two away from your family every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally have to echo what you're saying. The transportation agency, Metro, really needs to be responsive to realistic consumer or rider concerns and desires. They need to know that this thing is efficient, that this line is safe, et cetera. But the way that's going to happen, I think, is smart leadership by Metro. I think that the head of Metro, Phil Washington, is doing an excellent job. He came to us from Denver, Colorado, where he built a very, very fine system. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, I think people can also help themselves by downloading an app, something like City Mapper, or Metro itself has an app, which you can use basically to know when your train is coming, know when your bus is coming, know what the best route is. And it pretty accurately in real time tells you, this trip is going to take you 30 minutes or 20 minutes. And if we can start to use those apps, which I use all the time in every city that I travel to and at home, I think that you're going to save yourself some time and, again, see how efficient the process can be. I think that Metro line, that Crenshaw line to LAX, is going to be very, very significant, a real game changer, like Expo.
I think you're right. And the Expo line, I have ridden a couple of times. We actually have a stop right here to AM 790 KBC in Culver City. I've taken it to Santa Monica. I've taken it to downtown. And it definitely seems, maybe it's because it's brand new, but it's still a fairly clean train, and it's pretty nice. Now, if you were in charge of Metro, is there anything you would be prioritizing? Because it does seem like these things are taking quite a while to build and finish out.
Yeah, I think, I think, again, Phil Washington and his team, he's got a real crack eye in charge of basically capital construction, these big construction projects like the subway to the west side. They're on top of it. I do think sometimes when they go into the contract negotiations, the contractor will say, this is going to take 6 months, this is going to take 6 years even. And then they get into the project and they say, oh, there's much, much more infrastructure underground than we thought there was. We need to do utility relocation. We need to do sewage and gas line relocation. Come on, guys. You know the city. You know what the city looks like. I think both Metro and the contractors need to be more on top of that so we don't get into delays like we've seen with the Regional Connector project in particular, which is that downtown project that's going to connect the Expo line and the Gold line out, the San Gabriel Valley.
I think that's an important issue when it comes to all of local government, is that, we don't hold the contractors that get these contracts super, we don't hold them to the standard of agreeing to what they said they were going to do. Maybe we need to do incentives like when we rebuilt the 10 freeway after the 94 earthquake. It got done in 2 months as opposed to 6 months because there was an incentive to do it. Because sometimes with a contractor, and the government's paying, you start a project, you don't have a lot of incentive to finish it on time because you're going to keep getting paid no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a guy named Peter Uberoth, who got it rebuilt, after that disaster, he's a local hero in Los Angeles, if people remember. You're old enough to remember. But I think Metro is really in very, very good hands with Phil Washington. I just think, they need to really continue to hold the contractors' feet to the fire. And they need to share what they know about the difficulty of tunneling through areas that had oil and gas in the past, areas that have utilities that have to be relocated, and not get into a situation where 6 months, a year into the contract, the contractor is saying, hey, guys, it's going to cost us more to do this. That's a crock. And you know, Metro knows that, and the public certainly knows that because they live in the city and they see the construction and they want it to be done fast. The one other thing I'd say about construction projects is if you can build it today, build it today. The delay is costing us grief. It's costing us damage to the environment and to our health in the form of asthma and the like. And it's always going to cost you more if you push it off. And if we build a project in a year or in 2 years or in 10 years that we should have built now.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We could be borrowing the money and it would be cheaper to build everything out ASAP than waiting and delaying it over years. It looks like we're expediting some things with this 28 by 28 project. But what would you say, and I'll ask you, I'll leave you with this, Joel Epstein, as our last question, because he has been informing us on what's going on with Metro. He's a communications strategist and writer focused on transportation and urban issues. You know, we talk to a lot of listeners here, a lot of people that commute every single day, a lot of people that have used the Metro in the past. And one criticism that I see a lot, because I read a lot of articles when it comes to things going on with Metro, is, and maybe it's that they have a PR problem, but whenever I hear, you know, discussions of the Metro Board and Phil Washington, it seems like the goal is not necessarily to make transit better sometimes, but it's to make driving more of a pain in the butt, so you're going to have to take the transit. Is there any truth to that, or am I just seeing what I want to see?
I think that that's a common concern and criticism of Metro, but I really don't feel that way. We have a very, very large region, you know, with an estimated 10 to perhaps 12 to, you know, 14 million people. You know, Metro is a countywide agency. It deals with the roads as well as the transit system. It's you know, this is a very, very complicated region. And I think we should cut Metro some slack. You know, obviously there are some proposals out there for congestion pricing and things like that, which I personally, as a transit rider, wholeheartedly support, because I think I'm realistic about, again, about how many people the transportation agency is trying to move. But I think these guys are genuine public servants, most of them, from Phil Washington down. And he's done an excellent job, really, you know, a little inside baseball. He's done an excellent job of changing the culture in an agency that in the past has not always functioned as well as it might have. So I think folks should give transit a chance. They should ride. They should use transit apps that helps them know when they need to be at that bus stop or be at that train stop. And the trains are running, you know, on the whole on time. There are delays, of course, from time to time, but that's reflected on the app. So that's my two cents.
Well, that's good to know. Joel, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow Joel Epstein at The Joel Epstein, E-P-S-T-I-E-N-E-I-N on Twitter. And thanks so much for joining us on The Morning Drive.
Hey, really my pleasure, and enjoy your holiday, and I hope the morning commute is okay.
Well, it should be super light today. Thanks so much for joining us. If you'd like to react to that, 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. There is obviously a very pro-transit opinion there, but there are a lot of reasons that people don't take the bus and they don't ride the trains to work every day. If you've got a reason for me, whether it's the homeless, the crime, or that they're not certainly reliable, we'd love to hear from you, 800-222-KABC, or you can go to facebook.com/KABC radio as well. Speaking of the commute, let's go check on it. Here's Bill Thomas.